Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. New customers download the PointsBet app today and sign up in any of PointsBet's live states with code PAGE to get 5 second chance bets up to $500. That's 5 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager and bet credits. Again, that's promo code PAGE and enjoy more live betting markets than ever before. PointsBet, your move. Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services or visit www.1800gambler.net.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Playing Ground podcast. You're with your two favorite golf girls, Paige and Sam. Sam, you played Isleworth this weekend?
You know, for someone who talks about how much they don't play golf, when I do play, we play some pretty sick courses. So I played in the member guests at Isleworth for the past 2 or 3 years now and had just like become friends with some of the girls out there. It's like 20, 25 minutes from Winter Park where I live. And it's so nice. Like, it is one of the nicest country clubs I've been to, from the staff to, you know, the people making the drinks to the cart people. They have cart girls like in the cart barn. They have a few girls that work there. I love that.
Yeah.
I had the best time. We played 18 holes in 245. It kind of felt a little chaotic, but we had the best time. We played with another couple. We played guys versus girls. The girls won, obviously.
Of course. So you played well?
Yeah, I played pretty well. The greens there are just known to be really difficult. Like, you can look at it and be like, oh, that's definitely going right. Like, Ray Charles could see that's going right. And then it goes like 90 degrees left. And you're like, that does not make sense. So that was frustrating. I mean, because I don't practice. Like, I don't practice real life putting or real life, you know, I barely practice my short game ever. But yeah, I played okay. Bombing driver, nothing new there.
Of course. I feel like that's the first thing that always goes with me. If I don't practice much, it's my touch around the greens. It's 100 yards and in, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why that's the first thing that goes for me. And then it's chipping and putting. Usually I can get chipping back pretty quickly, but it's the wedges. Wedges and putting for me. First thing that goes if I don't practice. Sometimes I feel like I hit it better when I don't practice because I don't put any pressure on myself. But then when it comes to like hitting a wedge, I'm like, I have no idea where this is going. I don't know how far this is going to go. Who knows?
I don't know about you guys in college, but that mid-distance, like 50 to 100 yard wedges are like all we practiced. And so now that I don't practice them at all, I pretty much stand over it and I'm like, this could go in the hole or directly to my right in the water. Like, I don't know. And so I agree with you. The wedges is the first thing. I still feel like I can pull off some sick greenside chips because I just have no fear and I just don't care. So I'll like try to flop one way high in there. And then when I do it, it's really cool. But the 60, 70, 80 yard shot, which sucks and it hurts for me because that used to be like, if I was anywhere between 60 and 80 yards, I knew I was getting up and down. And so now it's like, oh, I missed the green. That's cool.
Also shows you, if you practice your wedge shots, you're going to shoot much lower. I see people when they go out on the range, it's always driver, 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 and they want to hit their driver. And then they're like, why am I not shooting lower scores? And they're making doubles from the middle of the fairway and they can't hit wedges. So if you take anything away from this episode, hit your wedges 100 yards and in, you have to be absolutely dialed. Not absolutely dialed, you just need to be a little bit better, but a little bit better could be 4 to 5 shots per round, which is massive. But speaking of short game, I played some mini golf, some putt-putt this weekend.
Putt-putt's sneaky hard.
I'm saying it now. If you are a good putter and like good at golf, it does not translate to putt-putt.
No.
Not at all.
No, because there's no windmills on a golf course. Like what? I've always been so frustrated with mini golf because I feel like I'll go with people who don't play golf and they'll be like, wow, you kind of suck. I'm like, this does not count.
Well, they expect you to be good. That's the thing. You have all these expectations going in because they're like, oh, you're good at golf. You're going to be good at mini golf. And there is no correlation.
None.
It does not add up.
Well, tell us about your experience. You sound a little upset about it.
I just played bad. I just played bad. And I was expecting to be good at it. And every single time I go and play putt-putt, I think I'm going to just destroy it. And I have confidence. And then I'm just missing all these putts. I think it's because I'm bad at math. And you have to have the geometry of like, you hit it here, it's going to bounce that way. And it just doesn't compute. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not good at it and I'm bothered by it. So maybe I will start a mini golf, a little putt-putt content series and my journey of being a better putt-putt player.
You could do Journey to the Pop Stroke Championship. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they literally have like tournaments.
They do. They do. I used to go to Myrtle Beach all the time and they would have putt-putt courses like we have Starbucks. You know, it's like every corner you look, there's putt-putt and they have their championships there. Like they used to have like all these massive championships in Myrtle Beach. And I was like, that could be me. Maybe I could make it as a pro golfer, a pro putt-putt golfer.
You know what? Talk about pace of play issues, putt-putt courses.
We had to skip a hole. We had to skip a hole because there were like 5 kids in front of us. One was dressed as a pirate and it was very cute, but they were just taking their good old time. And it's like, okay, pace of play. Like, you know,
they're growing the game.
That's going to be the next headline on New York Post. Paige hates children, does not want game to grow. I can see it now.
Paige bullies kid in pirate costume at Congo River. I'm going to die.
Oh, no. Let's move on from that very quickly. So we had the RBC Canadian Open, which is one of my favorite events. It seems like people just show up and it's always a really great event. It was a bit overshadowed by the news of the merger, but that died down quickly, especially the final round when Nick Taylor made an insane putt to beat Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff. Some of the most exciting golf I've seen in a while. Like I have never seen someone make a putt that long under that type of pressure. And he's Canadian, which is huge. Big little piece of the puzzle that I just left out.
The Canadians were insane. Sorry, no offense to all the Canadians. Sorry to all the Canadians, but you guys were a little insane watching the golf. That was really cool, though. It was the first time in 69 years. That's convenient. Nice. That a Canadian has won. But the putter throw, the jumping onto the caddy, his longest putt of his career that he's made like in an actual tournament. I mean, dare I say a good thing it hit the hole? That thing was cooking.
Flying. If that was on a putt-putt course, it would have been in the water.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so, I can't believe he read that putt that well. And the look on his face right after he hit it, I was like, I feel like he knows this is going in.
It was really great.
Even Tommy Fleetwood was like, kind of gave him a nod like, damn.
I mean, I was a little disappointed because I picked Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood. So, you know, sucks that I didn't get that, but it was great. But shot of the week, Sam?
Shot of the week, presented by Club Champion, has nothing to do with the golf shot and everything to do with the linebacker security guard.
Who took Adam Hadwin out, completely bodied. I mean, I haven't seen a hit that hard in a long time. That would have been banned on the NFL. Like that was a red flag. There's this slow motion video that I posted on Twitter of Adam Hadwin getting tackled. And it is a thing of beauty with Nick Taylor celebrating and his caddy coming in for a hug. You see the spray of the champagne. All of a sudden you see the security guard make the turn full on like bear hug, tackle him. He disappears from the frame. Champagne is still flying. Nick Taylor's caddy turns around. It's like, it is beautiful. It was beautiful.
You know what it reminded me of? And I watched some NFL, mostly the Cowboys. Tragic, I know. It reminded me of the movie The Blind Side, where Michael Orr is playing that football game in high school. And he tackles that kid and runs him all the way to the parking lot. That's about, I think that he hit that kid just as hard as Adam Hadwin got hit yesterday.
The best part was Jessica Hadwin, Adam's wife, who was tweeting about it. And she said, in the most Canadian fashion, Adam gets up and apologizes to the security guard.
I think that Jessica Hadwin might be one of the best follows on Twitter.
She is a superior follow, but that was the shot of the week. We just have to give props to both. Adam Hadwin for taking it like a champ and the security guard for doing his damn job. I mean, he was locked in, ready to go. You have to respect it. And use code PAGE because
it's okay. It really doesn't have anything to do with clubs, but that's okay.
I was trying to transition. I was like, you know, it's not going to work, but you know, we love a discount. We love a discount. So use code PAGE. That's PAIGE to get a discount on your clubs to play better golf, to hit that shot of the week.
So the first thing I thought of when I saw this tackle, and this is, I'm not done. Of course, was the blind side. And then the second thing was, do you remember last week, COD, the merger feels like a year ago, when we were watching Golf Channel and you're watching all the players come out of the player meeting and they had that camera just stationed right at the front of the clubhouse. And all of the players, I don't care if it was like somebody in the top 20 or somebody who was 400th, had little credentials on. And I'm thinking, like, my boyfriend's asking me, who's that? Who's that? And I'm telling him, and I'm like, oh yeah, people probably, like, these golf course workers who they don't work for the PGA Tour a lot of the time, the people like standing outside security.
Yeah.
They don't know who a lot of these guys are who aren't in the top five or top 10. And I'm thinking that security guard going through his head, like, who is this random guy in jeans, not knowing?
In a hoodie and jeans. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, if you had some tour players walk by me on the street without their golf clothes on, without a hat on, without sunglasses on, I would struggle to pick some of them out of the crowd. So I can see why the security guard was, you know, on high alert in that moment. And like you said, the Canadians were getting down. They were excited in that moment. So it wouldn't have been a surprising moment for one of them to run out of the crowd. Probably it's like, where did they get the champagne bottle? You know, that could have set them off. But still, you know, got to give it up for the security. Before we get into the US Open preview, I want to just talk very quickly on the merger, because you were talking about how sometimes you're like, I don't know who's, I could pick someone out who's outside the top 150.
Yeah.
Chess and Hadley.
Oh yeah, this was a tough watch.
So Chess and Hadley was doing an interview and they were asking him all about the merger, you know, as they should. And he said, I want to be rewarded for my loyalty. What loyalty, Chesson? What loyalty are you talking about? Did you have an offer? If you didn't have an offer, how loyal can you actually be?
Yeah, I will be honest. The video that I saw did not have his name in the tweet. No clue who he was. I don't know. That was a tough watch. He got a lot of hate for it on social media too, saying exactly what you said. I understand if it's somebody who was offered $500 million and said, no, the PGA Tour is where I want to play, and they were outspoken about it the whole time. I get that. Do I think they deserve $500 million for saying no because it's a choice that they made? But I don't know. It gave me secondhand embarrassment, like really hard. I was like embarrassed for him.
Well, it was funny because he was like, didn't Jay say that he was going to reward the players? And even the reporter was like, He was trying to be like, yeah, but not you. It was like this really awkward moment. And Chess was like, but he said it about Rory. And the pro was like, yes, about Rory, not about every single person on the PGA Tour. I understand the top players being frustrated because if you were offered that amount of money and you turned it down, and it was because of all these discussions that you had with Jay Monahan saying, okay, we're going to reward you for your loyalty. Like, we're going to make sure that you are safe, protected, all of the stuff. You, if you stay, we will be there for you. And then all of a sudden, you know, they flip it up on you. But for some of these guys, it's an honor for you to play on the PGA Tour. You are making millions of dollars. You have a great life. And I'm not saying that there aren't things in your job that are difficult. I think all of us can relate to that, that not everything is perfect. But when you can be outside of the top 100 in the world at what you do and still make a really great living and millions of dollars, it's because of the people like Tiger and Rory and Jon Rahm and all of these players who are elevating the game, and you benefit off of that. They should be rewarded, not you if you didn't really have any other option.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in the locker rooms in the past 7 days. Not in the players' meeting, because they're not going to say maybe what they would say to each other in front of Jay Monahan or maybe even some other fellow players, but to read the text messages between these guys, to see the FaceTimes, to see these conversations in the locker room, I can only imagine. But if there's one thing that I've learned in the last 7 days, which I cannot believe it's only been 7 days because it feels like a year, is that no one knows what the fuck is going on. So if I see one more tweet saying like, this is what's going to happen, just stop, please stop. Please stop, because no one knows.
No one knows at all what's going on. There's a handful of people who understand, and I don't even think they know exactly what's going on. Nothing is ironed out yet. There is no concrete structure. Sit back, relax. But it's hilarious. I mentioned this in the last episode, and we talked about this briefly, that no one knows. And you're seeing, my source says this, and my source says that, and all this stuff. It's like, no. No one knows. No one has as much power as they thought they had. And I think that was the most surprising thing out of all of this. You look at some of the biggest players in the game, even someone like a Greg Norman, who you thought had so much power and influence in the game. And then it comes down to three people, and they're the ones who are molding the game, and no one else has any power. And I think golf has always been like that. I did an Instagram live with the CEO of LA Golf, Reed Dickens, and I asked him about this. And I said, are you scared that these three people have so much power? And he said, it's always been like this. Always. Since the day golf started, this is how it has always been. And now people are just starting to see it for the first time. And I thought that was really interesting, but I think that's true.
Paige, I have to mention this. There's a copyright claim against LIV Golf right now.
What?
It literally happened this morning. Okay, breaking news, low-key, 15 minutes into the podcast. Listen to this. This is a paragraph my friend sent me from an article. An Argentine corporation has filed a federal trademark infringement lawsuit against LIV Golf and its High Flyers GC team, captained by Phil Mickelson, accusing them of copying its 20-year-old logo for a popular skateboarding apparel brand. Not the High Flyers being a skateboarding group. No, you know those stupid clip art logos?
Yeah.
Apparently someone already had that one, which is pretty embarrassing.
I don't even know how to process this information, Sam. This is just mind-blowing. How are they going to proceed? What is going to go next?
Cool Brand Supply is the name of the company who had their logo 20 years ago that apparently looks a lot like the High Flyers. I have nothing to say about it. I just wanted to read it out loud.
There's just been so much information like that that's like being thrown at you all the time. I had to just go off Twitter the other day because I saw so many conflicting stories and things like this, and it's all coming out, and it's like, I don't even know what's true anymore.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
I don't even know it's true. I'm just going to focus on the U.S. Open, and that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to preview the U.S. Open. It's at L.A. Country Club, Los Angeles Country Club, and it's the first time that they're hosting a U.S. Open. It is number 16 course in America, and the rough.
You know it's U.S. Open week because the second the final putt dropped yesterday, and my Twitter feed was like, Nick Taylor's putt, Adam Hadwin getting tackled by security guard, and like 15 videos of balls being dropped in the rough. Like, we get it. We get it.
It's the equivalent of when people post the Augusta menu and say, what would you buy for $7? It is the exact same thing. It's not U.S. Open week unless someone is dropping balls into some thick-ass rough. And that's what we're seeing. But I can't imagine hitting out of this rough.
No.
They're dropping balls. It is disappearing. Even when you pan up and over on top of the golf ball, you can barely see it. I don't know how you get a club head on that rough. And it's like 7 yards from the green. This is greenside rough. Greenside rough.
And it's Bermuda, which I think is an interesting tidbit to add here, because Bermuda rough in majors is very rare. I was reading, you know, don't think that I knew that off the top of my head. I was reading this on an article like 30 minutes ago, but hey, we're here to provide the information. And I think that that's really interesting because I saw the actual USGA video of the balls being dropped. They dropped 3 or 4 balls and you couldn't see any of them. Like you said, I mean, that's going to be crazy. But what do you think about the U.S. Open as a major? I know you do a lot of work with like picking winners, picking top 10, top 20. Is it hard? I assume it's hard. I'm not well versed in the space. I assume it's harder when the venue changes, right?
It's harder when the venue changes, but it's like every single tournament. It's difficult. It's hard to pick winners. It's almost impossible to pick winners in golf because it is so unpredictable and the players are so good. I think it's almost easier in majors, even though the course switches all the time, because there is a group of players that just rise to the occasion, especially for a week like the US Open, where I was reading an article just doing a course preview and going over every single hole. And they said, well, you need to hit your driver straight, also long. You need to be accurate with your long irons, your mid irons, also your wedges. You need to have a stellar short game, creativity around the greens. Also, you need to shot shape and you need to putt well. So what they're saying is you need to have the complete game. And there are very few players in the world who are able to do that. Also to keep their composure during very difficult weeks like a US Open. So even though the course changes, the conditions are very similar. So you need to look at players who have that complete game and also who can stay calm under pressure and also in difficult situations. And so you look for players like a Scottie Scheffler who has been there before. You look at players like a John Rahm who can keep composure during, you know, tough playing conditions. Those are the type of players, and that's why they're favorites this week and every other week. But it's interesting. There are a bunch of other players that people are throwing around. Max Homa being a very popular pick. California boy, the same architect, George Thomas, designed Riviera and LA Country Club. If you look at the same course architect, there, that does play a big factor in people who like similar golf courses because they seem to set up the same golf course every single time. Even though there are different things about each one, there are a lot of similarities. You know, they sometimes like a dog leg or they like elevated greens. They have their signature on each golf course. And so the fact that Max Homa has won at Riviera does also lead you to believe that he's going to play well at LA Country Club. I also seen that he has shot a 61 here before. He likes the golf course, you know, hometown advantage. There's a lot of pros, but Max Homa hasn't played well in the major. So
do you think that Max Homa is equipped mentally to handle knowing that every podcast is having the same conversation right now?
I don't know. I really like Max as a person, and I feel as a player, he has been able to rise up to the occasion. I think winning at Riviera, Tiger's tournament, who he idolizes, and doing it in front of a ton of his family bodes well for him to play well at this tournament. But again, majors are a different animal. So can he break through? And I think if this is a tournament that he's going to do it, a major he's going to do it, it's going to be this one.
I like that take. Favorites by the book, obviously, like you said, Scheffler, Rahm, Brooks. Here's a cool stat that I found. Over the last 5 years, if you look at every US Open event history, the top 10 players who are always near the top of the leaderboard, in order, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jon Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Hideki Matsuyama, Matt Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Gary Woodland. And I feel like this is just speaking exactly to what you said a few minutes ago about those same names rise to the occasion at the majors. And these are names we see almost at every major. And if they're not at the top, they're like missing the cut. I feel like these guys, they're not in like 30th or 40th at majors. They're either winning or going home.
Yeah, it's interesting because Gary Woodland has also been another player that I'm seeing everyone pick as a long shot this week. And again, it makes sense. He has the game to do it, but you just have to peak at the right time. I'm going to fade Rory. I just don't think that he's in the right headspace to be able to compete this week. There's so much going on, so much pressure on him. The press conference is going to be absolutely miserable for him. You got to feel for him. I mean, everyone is just asking him horrible questions all the time, and that takes a toll on you mentally. And I don't think people realize how much of a grind this week is, major weeks are, especially the US Open, because the course conditions are so incredibly difficult that you need to be laser focused and you can't have any other outside distractions affecting your play. And I think because of what has happened, you're going to see a lot of players just no comment, not going to get too deep onto any topics. And Rory tends to do that. And so I'm interested to see what his press conference is going to look like. If he is going to be his normal Rory, where he is very introspective and he talks about all of these issues, or if he's just going to be like, I can't. No, thank you. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I think this past week was the first week in a long time we've seen Rory put that boundary up, right? When he said, like, I feel like a sacrificial lamb. I mean, the comment was funny and out of context, but in reality, like, that probably is exactly how he feels. He's one of the only ones really having to answer to all of this constantly. I mean, it's got to be emotionally exhausting. And we shit on Rory, not us, like everyone, for how bad he's been playing. But I mean, Jesus Christ, he's being pulled in 50 different directions and not even being told really what's going on, apparently. And I feel like it's just, I agree. I don't think Rory's going to play well this week. I don't know when he's going to play well again with all this shit going on.
I can't imagine how difficult it is to go and do a press conference when you also don't have any information.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're being very vague on what's going on. And I think it's doing them a disservice. I almost feel like the tour right now should be like, we're not doing any press conferences until we figure this out. Because I can't imagine going out, getting asked these very difficult questions and having no information on how to answer them. And a lot of these people have a very strong opinion one way or the other. And these are quotes that are going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. At some level, you need to protect the players or at least give them some information or some idea of what's going on. The fact that they made them go out and do all those press conferences when this news was just dropped at them for the RBC was shocking to me. And if I was the commissioner of the tour, I would have said no press conferences. I wouldn't have put my players in that situation. I just wouldn't have done it. I just think it's a weird move.
And I agree. I mean, you either say no press conferences or you say no questions about this or your credentials revoked. Like, you have to put some kind of boundary in place, like you said, to protect your players. But I mean, the past week has shown anything. It's that nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors.
Well, in this day and age, too, you can say something and one is probably going to be twisted and morphed and used for clicks. And again, it just reflects poorly on the players in the tour and what's going on, because, again, no one knows. And they're just trying their best and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I just feel like right now it's a very difficult time for them.
It is. Let's talk about what's coming up. You know, my favorite thing about this podcast, Paige, is that we get on this little silly little link and Monday morning and we just like have our little FaceTime. And I feel like everyone's just listening to our little rants.
Your little conversation.
We talk about what we did this weekend. Then we talk about all the golf. And then we talk about what we're doing this week. How fun is that? I feel like sometimes when I watch TikToks and I see girls doing like vlogs, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm on FaceTime with you. That's how I feel like these people are listening right now.
I know. And there's really fun stuff that we've been doing and that's coming up. Sam, I know what I want to talk about.
Oh, no.
I have beef with the bobblehead industry.
Yeah.
Like massive beef with people who create bobbleheads. I have a bobblehead with the Brewers. They're doing this huge night. It's such a big honor. It's amazing. But the bobblehead?
Okay.
It's rough. It is no fault to anyone but the bobblehead community.
Okay, but in the bobblehead...
The makers of bobbleheads.
In the bobblehead community's defense, first of all, things I did not think I would be saying today when I woke up, all bobbleheads kind of look weird. Like, I think it's kind of supposed to be like a caricature mixed with a figurine, right? Like, it's not supposed to look exactly like you. Otherwise, it would just be like a Barbie doll. Right?
I know, but it gave me like pretty bad body dysmorphia looking at that thing. I'm like, is that what I actually look like?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No, but it's like sometimes people will do drawings of me and they're very sweet, but the other times I'm like, is that how people see me?
Yeah, I will say it looks a lot better than that rendering we saw on the PDF. That was tough. That was a bit of a tragic meltdown moment.
They sent it over. My team sent this over and it was, yeah, just a PDF of what it's going to look like. And it didn't look great. We'll put it kindly. It didn't look great. Looking at this thing and I'm like, I don't know how many they're printing, but people are going to have this because people collect bobbleheads. It's a really big thing. And then I was side texting everyone on my team having a major freak out and they're all texting me pictures of other people's bobbleheads and none of them look like the person. They're just like, yep, it's just the bobblehead industry. Like no one makes a great bobblehead and we need to fix that. That needs to be stopped today. I'm also really disappointed because I really want to make
boobles,
bobble boobs, boobles. Yes. And that was shot down. Wasn't family friendly enough, which I understand, but that is the next bobblehead idea that we need to work on.
I will say that you guys have heard us talk about Paige's agent before. He has some wild ideas. Love him to death. He texts us on Friday night about this bobblehead website. I am going to, it's on my list to contact them today to see if they will do boobles. Because not even related to the Brewers game and the Brewers golf night, I feel like that would be epic. And there's got to be someone out there who doesn't, who will do that.
There is always a guy for something. We will find someone. It will make us our boobles. It's going to happen. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I do too. I mean, think of all the other body parts you could ooble. Maybe this is our next business. Maybe no one else will do it, but we can.
We can.
If you're out there and you have a booble company, DM us on the Playground Podcast account. If you know a guy who will booble.
Ooble, anything that shakes, anything.
Anything, except the eyes. Those are weird. I don't like those.
Oh, like the ones that like come out. It's like,
ooh, yeah, that, ooh. No, thank you. No, it's giving like clown. No.
Speaking of really disturbing things before we wrap this episode up, my boyfriend was in the airport last night and he sent me a picture of a man clipping his fingernails.
No, seriously?
In public.
First of all, I'm...
In public. Not near a trash can, nothing. Just clipping his fingernails, and the fingernails were just flying. Just left there. He didn't pick them up. Nothing. It is one of the grossest things. I was even there, but I can imagine it's one of the grossest things I've ever seen. That is nasty. That is nasty.
So this kind of goes, and I could go on a rant about this because I talk about this with my boyfriend and my family all the time. So my family owns restaurants in Chicago, and you're going to be like, what does this have to do with anything? It does. People since COVID have gotten real comfortable looking like shit and doing weird shit in public. Like that, I feel like would have never happened if that guy didn't spend 2 years inside. Do you know what I mean? Like, well,
we lost all of our social skills.
Yeah, like,
how to act in public.
No, seriously, like, my family owns very nice bars in Chicago. We'll go there, and there will be girls on a Friday night at this bar where you can't get a drink under $15. Like, they're nice drinks. And these girls are in, like, sports bras and leggings at a club, like a bar. Like, people have gotten so comfortable doing and looking trashy. And I think it's very tragic.
Well, I had to work on my facial expression after not wearing masks anymore, because you just be walking by someone doing something like that, and you just give, like, this, like, disgusting, like,
face. Well, you guys are back in your mask era, because the Canadian wildfires be wreaking havoc on y'all.
Yeah, that was insane for a little bit. It was, like, bright orange out. I was in New York, and it was insane. But it's finally, you know, okay, back good. To normal. Yeah, but no, you walk around like this, and all of a sudden, you're, like, looking at people, and it's a thing. But that has to be one of the grossest things that has ever happened in an airport, and that's saying a lot.
I think overall, people have gotten a little too confident, like, with their feet out. Also, I see a lot of feet in airports.
You are anti-flip-flop. You don't like to let the dogs bark.
I think flip-flops are for the girls. And I think if you're a guy and you wear flip-flops in like okay, maybe to the beach and the pool, like, fine. But, like, to a bar or on a plane, like, are you okay?
Like, I legitimately. I saw this guy who wore flip-flops, and he was like a cricket. You know, crickets, like, rub their feet together?
No, he did it the entire time
to, like, keep his feet warm, and it was nasty.
I can't.
On that note, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. We got all the educational, you know, information out in the beginning of the episode, and then just hear us rant for a little bit. But we're going to hear from you. What's the grossest thing you've ever seen at an airport? DM us or message us on the Playing Around Instagram account, or send us an email, and we'll catch you here next time. We'll be doing a post US Open recap, which I'm really excited about, and so much more. And don't forget to subscribe, send to your friends. No one's like, I'm not sending this to my friends after you guys talked about clipping your fingernails at an airport, but you should. You should do it. You should definitely do it. Send it to your friends. Leave us a nice review, because, you know, why not? Make someone's day. Give us some 5 stars, and we will catch you here next time. Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to ShotScope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.